said, get even? Question mark. No. Let's read our text this morning, beginning with verse 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. Get even. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. First point this morning, we want to look at the Old Testament. Which is what Jesus is referring to, and referring to a practice that they continued during his day. But as we look at this, this was more of a permission, not much of a command. That is, it was not in the Ten Commandments, per se, which was the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus. But we'll find in the 21st chapter, he addresses this issue of retaliation. That is, not everyone should of necessity require satisfaction. But they were granted the right under the law to insist upon exaction. Swear out a complaint. Much in our system today. Somebody wrongs you, you have the opportunity to swear out a complaint against them and have them prosecuted. Let's look at the Old Testament in the book of Exodus, chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21 and verse 24. We read, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. In the book of Leviticus, we see here that it was to be equal. It was to be fair. Leviticus chapter 24, in verse 20, he said, breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, as he hath caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done to him again. And then Deuteronomy gives us this rendering where Moses is rehearsing with the children of Israel in chapter 19 and verse 21. And he said, an eye shall not pity But life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Let us make mention here that this was not as to individuals. Individuals were not free to carry this out of themselves. He was speaking to Israel as a nation, and thus speaking to their judges or magistrates. And the judges or magistrates, being the minister of God, an avenger to execute wrath, if he found that it was a just complaint, they would usher out the penalty. And so that thought is carried over for us in the New Testament, in the book of Romans. Book of Romans in chapter 13. And verse 4 we read, "For he," that is the higher powers, the ruler, "for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." So this precept that we have given in the books of Moses was as one given to magistrates, given to judges, given to the rulers of the people. It was to be proportionate, not life for an eye, not a limb for a tooth. Turn in one other passage there, the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers in chapter 35. Numbers in 35. In verse 31. He said, "Moreover, ye shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer. You shall not take any payment, any monetary payment for the life of a murderer, which is guilty of death. But he shall be surely put to death." That is, if he was found guilty, if he was found to be a murderer, they weren't to take payment and let him go free. They weren't to be bought off. In other words, here it is at least implied, if we can apply this to the law of retribution, and that is what they were dealing with here in the book of Numbers 35 and verse 31, the law of retribution. So, as governing all of the law of retribution, it was not to be money bought off, not only for a murderer to go free, but for one who would put out the eye of another individual and well, I'll give you $1,000 for it. Wasn't to be that way. They wanted to be redeemed with money. And the purpose was that this was to serve as a deterrent to unwise and foolish behavior. And some just out of meanness. It was to be a deterrent to those who would just strike out in haste without giving thought to what the end consequences might produce. As the New Testament says, we're not to resist the powers that be, for He is the minister of God to be to execute wrath. And if we've done good, we don't need to fear the powers that be. But if we've done evil, then we're to fear. Then it is a terror. It is for the terror of the evil doers. And the force here was upon the judges, was upon the magistrates to rule according to this principle. Not like the one that we find in the book of Luke and in chapter 18, a parable that Jesus set forth in Luke chapter 18. In verses 2 and 3, he says, saying, that is, Jesus was saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God. Notice he feared not God. Neither regarded man. He had no respect for man. He did not fear God, and because he did not fear God, he didn't have respect unto man either. He didn't regard man. He didn't take man into his thoughts and into his cares. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, "Avenge me of mine adversary." Which, if you continue to read down, he wasn't willing to do at the first. But because she kept coming back and swearing out her complaint again and said, "Avenge me," finally he gave in to get rid of her. They weren't to do that. If they had a just complaint, then they were to render out the penalty, the punishment, in proportionate to what the crime was. The practice, by the time it got to Jesus' day, of the scribes and the Pharisees, the scribes were allowing these things to be redeemed with money. And not the actual putting out of the eye. And Jesus just points them back to the Old Testament, what the Old Testament said. And then as he done in all the others, he's going to give them a better example. Because he said in verse 20, "Except your righteousness excel the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall no wise enter the kingdom of heaven." So there's some better principles here, Jesus says, that is to govern us as my disciples. So we consider the more excellent way. Verses 39 through 42 describe the more excellent way. How many of you paid attention as we were reading that text? How many of you thought, "Boy, that's hard to do"? Maybe even some of us thought, "Boy, I can't do that." Well, things I've struggled with. Well, what was stated in the books of Moses was to judges and magistrates. Jesus here is addressing the complainant. The one who would file a complaint. And he's impressing on us the duty of forgiveness. The duty of forgiveness. You know, now you say, well, some people don't deserve to be forgiven. Well, granted, some people don't deserve to be forgiven, but let me ask you this. Did you deserve to be forgiven? Did you deserve to be forgiven? It's better to forgive than to insist on punishment of the evildoer, is what we're taught in verses 39 through 42. In so doing, Jesus is trying to teach us two things. The first one is, do not seek revenge. Verse 39. Do not seek revenge. Do not seek to get even. He said, I say unto you, that ye resist not evil. That is, do not set yourself against the evildoer, that one who has injured you, that has caused you injury. Don't set yourself to get even with them. So basically, when he said, I say unto you that ye resist not evil, all resisting is forbidden. Just makes sense, common sense, that you shouldn't resist the good, should you? Which is what he told us in the book of Romans in chapter 13, in verse 2, concerning resisting the higher powers, resisting the rulers, because he said, you resist them, and you're resisting the ordinance of God, and God's going to bring judgment on you. We're not talking about the care and protection of our families, in which we may resist the evil so far as it is necessary. In other words, only to subdue the attack. But once that's subdued, then let it go. Don't press on. We must not bear grudges. And in our bearing of grudges, repay evil for evil. I said I wrestled with these things in my life. And I wrestled with an unforgiving spirit. I wrestled with holding grudges. There was a time in my life, and I'm not saying this is bragging, but I'm saying praise God, He's worked on me, and I'm not that individual anymore. But there was a time in my life, if I got mad at you, I could stay mad at you indefinitely. And I'm here this morning to tell you, that's not becoming a child of God. And if I felt an injury, well, I'd seek to retaliate. I'd seek to get even. We must arise above that mentality. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs in chapter 20. Proverbs 20 and verse 22. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord, and He shall save thee. He shall reward thee. He'll get the recompense. He's the avenger. Let Him take care of the matter. That's not easy to do, is it? We mentioned briefly in Sunday school this morning about wanting to help God out. We're not called to help God out. Who do we think we are? Is He omnipotent? If He is, and He is, that means we have no ability, we have no power whatsoever. Chapter 24 of the same book, in verse 29. Say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. Don't say that. Don't seek to get even. Don't seek to repay. We're told in the book of Proverbs, Solomon was a wise man, wasn't he? Where did he get his wisdom? He got it from the Lord, did he not? But let's compare what we've read there in those two verses with what is said in the 25th chapter, in verse 20, 21 and 22. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Isn't that what we read in chapter 20 and verse 22? Wait on the Lord and He shall save thee. The Lord will take care of it. Just be loving, kind, and compassionate. In the book of Romans, chapter 12 and verse 17, we're told, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest. Well, that word honest doesn't mean how we understand honest. We understand honest as being truthful. Well, that could be implied there, certainly in the meaning. But it means provide things well. Provide things beautiful. Don't repay. Don't recompense. Don't seek to get even, but provide, do things which are well and beautiful. Is retaliation, is that well and beautiful? Well, it satisfies my flesh, doesn't it? But it not, might not be so beautiful. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Would it be that way with all men? We see. We're to be consistent with what? We're to be consistent with the law of love. The law of love. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second is namely like unto it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. There are three things which are specified in this. The first is a blow on the cheek. And not pleasant, especially when you consider what this smiting on the cheek meant. It meant to be smitten with a rod, or with the palm of a hand, or with a fist. Boy, that would have sure been one surefire way to get me to fight you. I see some smiles here. I'm thinking, well, I'm not the only one. He said, turn to him the other cheek. Instead of seeking vengeance, give him the other cheek and prepare to bear it patiently. Endure it. If he's so inclined to hit the other cheek, but most of the time, if you don't retaliate, that'll be the end of it. What is it? I don't know why I thought of it now, but in Proverbs it also said where the fire ceaseth, I've got it all wrong, but it's something to the effect that where the fire ceases, strife ceases. In other words, you end it by not retaliating. That's the end of it. Forgive and forget. Well, I've heard people say, and there again, myself, you know, I might forgive, but I'm not going to forget. Well, and sometimes that's easy to do, isn't it, to forgive. But the forgetting, you know, it's something how these minds can bring up things from 60 years ago, right, Brother Fran? We don't forget so quickly. But forgive and forget. If the law takes him and renders punishment, well, then that's all well and good. But for, on your part, let go of it. Be merciful. And so we're told in the book of Luke, chapter 6, and in verse 36, Jesus, in rendering, Luke's, according to Luke's rendering, pretty near parallel to what we have here in the 5th chapter of Matthew. In verse 36, he said, be merciful, therefore. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. The thought is, we have received much mercy and continue to receive much mercy, and we ought to be merciful to others. How many of you know what mercy is? It's withholding from them what they justly deserve. You see, he might in all reality justly deserve having his eye put out, but you forgive. You're in an act of mercy. You don't retaliate. Then he says, addresses in verse 40, he addresses the loss of property. It's common and proper for the due processes of law to be used in severe injuries. But it may be that evil men will take you to court and take your coat. The idea of the Greek word coat there is that garment which was worn close to the skin. Something of lower value. One that's costly as a cloak. Cloak was the outer that went over that coat. And it was more costly apparel. Sometimes men take us to court for things. Jesus said, let them have your cloak also. He said, don't countersue. They sue you to take your coat. Don't countersue. You hear a lot about countersuits, don't you? That's part of your sue for this, and this party will countersue the one that's being sued. Jesus said, let them have your cloak also. How many of you here be willing to do that? Be a rough way to go, wouldn't it? We are to remember who it is that is our provider. That's the point. That's the point of what we read in Proverbs. That's the point of what Jesus is trying to get across here. We're to remember who's our provider. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 said, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That is every need that you encounter, the Lord will provide. Proverbs said, wait. Wait, the Lord shall save you. The Lord will reward you. Remember in this that the Lord's the avenger. We're not to be the avenger. Let the Lord take care of the matter. That was the principle in Proverbs that was trying to get across. That was the principle in Romans chapter 12 and verse 17 where he said, recompense to no man, but provide things honest. Goes on down a couple of verses in that 12th chapter of Romans in verse 19. He says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. In other words, let wrath cease. Hinder the wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Let the Lord take care of the matter. Amen. Wait on the Lord to take care of it. Yeah, and that he keeps better records than we do. You know? So then, thirdly, he sums it all up. Well, actually, verse 42 is the summation. But verse 41, he says what he said in verse 39 and 40. He says in verse 41, he says, go the extra mile. Go the extra mile. The idea and thought there of compelling was government in those days demanded forced service. Much like the days of the draft in our country. You know, you turned 18, you were made to sign up for the draft. And if they drafted you, then you were made to go. You were compelled to go. You were compelled to sign up, and then if you were drafted, they compelled you to go. That was part of your duty as a citizen. And in those days, Christians were to be of a yielding temper and yield even double service if it was proper and pleasing to the powers to be, rather than gender strife. We ought not to seek to evade taxation. How many of you here like paying taxes? Everybody, if you raised your hand, everybody think you're weird. Yeah, I don't like paying taxes either, but God said it's my responsibility. And to be reasonable, yeah, government's got to have funds to do. And if you're a socialist, well, all those things you want to do, you got to get money from somewhere to do them. And I'm not promoting one political venue over another. I see a lot of merits to socialism if it's done in the right spirit. I mean, isn't that some of the principles from the Word of God? Being compassionate? Not providing for the lazy and the ones that don't want to work, but we'll address the poor. The sense here is that you are being forced to do this or that, though it might not be so pleasing and pleasant to be forced to give your coat. Go the extra mile, give them your cloak also. It might not be so pleasing and pleasant, agreeable to be smitten on the cheek, to receive a blow on the cheek, but go the extra mile and give them your other cheek as well. All this is for the sake of peace with your fellow man. And being pleasing to your Heavenly Father. And so, in the book of Luke, in chapter 6 and verse 30, it records, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Don't demand that they pay them back. So the second thing he gives us be charitable and be kind in verse 42. Which is basically a summation of what he said in verses 39 through 41. Be charitable and be kind. We must be ready to give. If you have the ability, give to them that ask of you. Look upon his request as an opportunity to give unto the Lord. Book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 31. Proverbs 14:31 says, "He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor." In the 19th chapter of Proverbs, in verse 17, he says this, "He that hath pity upon the poor," get this, "lendeth unto the Lord." And that which he hath given, will he pay him again. You see, the Lord gave it to you in the first place, and you give it to the poor, the Lord's going to give it back to you. And I found that most of the time it's with interest. You know? I'll tell you, it's a great blessing to receive. I've had to be on the receiving end. It was hard at first. And especially when I had a need, didn't say nothing to anyone, and lo and behold, get a check in the mail, took care of the need. But you know what I found? As blessed as that is, because it's a joyful time, it's more blessed to give. It's more blessed to give. And then he addresses in this verse, we must be ready to lend to him that would borrow. That is, if we have the ability. And I might add that you look at the word borrow there in the Greek, and in the Greek, it carried with it the idea of with interest. But the Jews in Israel were forbidden to charge interest. So the thought is you lend without charging usury, without charging interest on it. You give. Sometimes this is just as charitable as giving. You've helped one in their present distress. And they have full intention of paying it back. I also state this, if you lend, especially if you lend to a brother or sister, be prepared not to get it back. They may have every intention of paying it back, but they don't know what lies ahead. And you don't either. You may not get it back. Be prepared to forget about it. So in conclusion, in all of this, what will enable us to seek to get enable us not to seek to get even. And to turn the other cheek. What will enable us to give them our cloak when they have taken our coat? What will enable us to go the extra mile? And to give to the poor. It must be by love thy neighbor as thyself. Love will do what? Love will move you to be merciful. Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy, before or because of His great love wherewith He loved us. That is, His love moved Him to be merciful to His children. And if we have agape in our hearts, and we do if we're His, it'll move us to be merciful. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 6. I'm going to read a few verses here in closing. Luke chapter 6, verse 27 through 38. But I say unto you, which hear, do you hear? Love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Be next week's lesson. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, there's the golden rule. Now pay attention how that's worded. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them. You want men to be merciful to you? Compassionate? Be that way with them. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them, which are do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. He's talking about love and mercy. We're to be loving, and we're to be merciful. And then he says in verse 38, love, be loving and merciful. Give. Give love and mercy. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you. You want a life that is blessed of the Lord. Be loving, compassionate, and merciful. Give it freely. Give it out freely. Shall we stand? Have a song in closing, Brother Mike.
Number 473.